to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Welcome back to News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Yeah, I know. This isn't Phil Williams. Phil Williams is celebrating his 35th anniversary. Congratulations to him and his wife. That's amazing. But this is Yaffe filling in for Phil today. Appreciate him letting me do this. If you want to find out more about me, well, you can every day on WVNN, Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. is the Yaffe program. You can also follow me on Twitter at Michael Yaffe. Yes, I was here this morning. Been here all day. It's been a long day. But, you know, talking about wives, my beautiful wife still got up because I got up early and she was up late, but she still got up and made me dinner or a lunch, you know, packed me a lunch and packed me a breakfast. And I was like, Steffi, you don't have to do that. You don't have to. I could go somewhere. And she says, no. If I don't pack you a lunch, you're going to go have McDonald's for breakfast and lunch. And I was like, look, I probably would have gone to McDonald's for breakfast and then maybe Burger King for lunch or Jack's or something. I mean, that's not so bad, right? And of course I say this and Copper's just nodding, understanding where Steffi's coming from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also understanding where you're coming from because I wouldn't want to eat breakfast.
Yeah, that's true.
So if somebody else makes it for me, I'll eat it. If not,
I just can't believe she's doing this because she cares about my health.
Yeah.
And she cares about me. So thank you. I just can't believe I'm one of those guys now that needs his wife to make him lunch and breakfast. Mm-hmm. But all I have to say is being married is awesome. Well, this is what I got to say. All you guys out there are like, I never want to be married. You're stupid because being married is fantastic. I just want to say that. So I want to talk a little bit of Alabama politics this half hour. Also want to take your calls at 1-866-494-9866, 1-866-494-WVNN. Obviously, the Senate race has gotten kind of interesting in recent weeks, and this week it got a little bit more interesting because, one, Lindy Blanchard, yes, Lady Lindy, as I call her now, has dropped out of the Senate race, changed her name from Linda to Lindy, and is now running for governor. So we're going to talk more about that later on. Doesn't affect the Senate race too much because she was polling at 1% or 2%. But the other thing that happened this week is kind of interesting. So the National Defense Authorization Act, Mo Brooks voted for it this time. Now, usually something like that would be like, okay, who cares? But it made a lot of news here in Alabama when the first time in the House, he voted against it. And it made a lot of news because his opponents, Katie Britt and Michael Durant, totally trashed him for it, blasted him for it. Of course, Mo Brooks is declaring victory now. But this is what Katie Britt said at first, just so you remember when he voted no the first time. He said this, or she said, this is the latest example of why Washington is broken and why we don't need ineffective, all-talk, do-nothing career politicians like my opponent in the U.S. Senate. So, I mean, she really went on the attack here, just so you know. She continues, she says, the NDAA is the one place where Congress annually has the opportunity to show support for our tremendous military service members and extended defense community. Instead, my opponent is playing political games, grandstanding about partisan provisions that he knows will be cleaned up in the Senate and then in the conference process. So, Mo Brooks is being accused of grandstanding. Now, I'm going to play some audio on Mo Brooks in a second because I had him on my show yesterday morning asking him about this very thing. So he voted no that time. It went to the Senate, but it was cleaned up in the Senate. And Mo Brooks said initially that, look, if this bill is cleaned up in the Senate, if you get rid of a lot of the bad parts and it comes back to the House, I'll vote for it. And I have to be honest, and I said it on my show, that seems like a pretty reasonable position to me. That voting no for a bill you don't like is not a bad thing to do. And if it cleans up and it gets better, it doesn't have the bad things, then you vote yes. I know it's not typical politics, but it's hard for me to believe that typical politics is a good thing. Now, Mo Brooks also put this on his website talking about the things that were in the original Defense Authorization Act bill that are not in it this time and why he changed his vote. One was requiring teenage girls to register for the draft. Another attacked the Second Amendment via red flag laws. If you don't know what that is when someone can report you, and under a red flag law, if you're suspected of something, your guns can be taken away, and then you have to prove later that you're okay and you get your guns back. And a lot of people don't like that, which is understandable because it kind of makes due process backward. You know, you're sort of guilty until proven innocent in that case. So your guns are taken away from you, and then you have to prove your innocence. That's not really how justice is supposed to work. So that's why Mo Brooks was against that, and I'm sure most of you listening now are against that. Now, another one was promoted unionization in the national defense industry. I mean, Joe Biden has been very, very big on that, as you know. Created a George Orwell, and I'm reading from his site here, but created a George Orwell 1984-style Office of Extremism that would likely target conservatives for their legitimately held political beliefs and many other onerous provisions. So that was in the original bill. And another person I asked about it at the time was Casey Wardinsky, who worked for the Department of the Army under President Trump. He said he agreed with Brooks to vote no on that. But Katie Britt and Michael Durant, they went after Brooks hard. I mean, they were basically calling him anti-military at the time. I think Michael Durant actually said those words. And when I talked to Michael Durant on my show and I interviewed him, he basically said that same thing about Mo Brooks. So we'll take your calls and see what you think, who was right on this. But go ahead, Copper, play the first Mo Brooks cut I sent you. So I interviewed him yesterday on my show, and I just wanted to recap a little bit of it just in case you missed it. Going to play the first Mo Brooks cut where he talked about why he changed his vote. Here it is.
You're talking about different bills with different language in them. By way of example, Nancy Pelosi's National Defense Authorization Act that was on the House floor back in September, that one required teenage girls to register for the draft. That one attacked the Second Amendment via red flag laws. That one promoted unionization in the national defense industry. It created a George Orwell 1984-style Office of Extremism that would enable liberals in the military to target conservatives solely based on our conservatives holding legitimate political beliefs. And then there are many other numerous bad provisions. So myself, along with three other congressmen, Robert Adderholt, Barry Moore, and Gary Palmer from the state of Alabama, i.e. a majority of our House delegation, we all voted against it. And so for Katie Britt and Mike Durant to assert that the four of us are anti-military, that's just nuts.
So, and this was a weakness in Katie Britt's argument, I have to admit. And I talked about this with Sean Ross, who works for Katie Britt, and they're basically saying the same thing, that Mo Brooks was grandstanding, and it was kind of anti-military. But I have to say it, and I brought it up. I was like, well, he wasn't the only one in the Alabama delegation to go down this road. Gary Palmer, Robert Adderholt also went down that road. Were they grandstanding as well? Barry Moore? They didn't want to say that. Which kind of says to me, okay, maybe Mo Brooks was doing what the voters want, and maybe that, yes, that's kind of being an outsider, but both Katie Britt and Michael Durant are claiming to be the true outsider. Well, you're not going to act like an outsider unless you stand up against bad bills like this, which Mo Brooks did. I mean, I just have to say. Go ahead and play up Mo Brooks cut two for me, Copper. Here was more of what he said on my show yesterday.
Okay. You don't know that the bill's coming back from the Senate. For all you know, the Senate may pass your bill. Then it goes to the president's desk. So you may never see it again. So you can't rely on the other body cleaning up a bad bill. You have to vote yourself on whether the bill is a net positive or a net negative. And I believe that we could do much better. And so I'm very, very proud that we were instrumental in providing the no votes that in turn put pressure on the Senate and House conferees to clean up their act, clean up the NDAA, and give us a bill that much better represented the viewpoints of the citizens of the state of Alabama.
So he says something there that's pretty interesting, and I agree with him. He voted no. A lot of other people in the House voted no. And he says those no votes put pressure on the Senate to make sure that the Senate changed it. So the Senate got rid of those bad things partly because there were a lot of no votes from Republicans, and Republicans in the Senate didn't like that. They didn't want to look bad, and they worked even harder to make sure their changes were happening. I got to say, maybe I'm thinking too simplistically, And some people say, well, that's just not how the process usually works. But to me, if that's not how the process usually works, it should work in a way where if you're a congressman and you see a bill and you don't like the bill, you vote no for the bill. And if they clean it up and you like it now, you vote yes. It seems simple, but in this case, isn't that how it's supposed to work? Aren't we kind of sick of a lot of the wheeling and dealing? We say we're sick of that, draining the swamp, but then when Mo Brooks actually does that, he's blasted for it? Can't go down that road. Go ahead and play, is there a third Mo Brooks cut I sent you, I believe? Go ahead and play that one, because he also took an opportunity to blast Katie Britt and Michael Durant. Here it is.
And in that context, let's talk about Mike Durant and Katie Britt for just a moment. If they're so willing to surrender our foundational and fundamental principles, if they're so easily outmaneuvered by the Democrats that they'd vote yes for this kind of legislation where we're going to be drafting our girls, or we're going to be undermining the Second Amendment right to bear arms, just going down the list, gosh, how would they conduct themselves in the United States Senate if they're so easily maneuvered in a campaign context? Really what they were doing is they probably had news releases ready. No matter how I voted on the National Defense Authorization Act, Nancy Pelosi's version back in September, they were going to attack me one way or the other.
So I am of the belief, really, that Mo Brooks, Katie Britt, Michael Durant, Jessica Taylor, that pretty much all of them, if they were elected, no matter who's elected, will vote the same on 90% of things. I really do that. They're all going to be very conservative. They're all going to be much more conservative than if a Democrat was in there. And about 90% of the time, they'll vote the same. But I have to say, you know, I don't think it's that, you know, they're being outmaneuvered by the Democrats. But it does make Katie Britt and Michael Durant look bad, because they say they're the outsider. They're not the typical politician. They're campaigning on that. Yet, if they voted for the NDAA and their argument for voting for it, it was the typical politician argument. It really was. And they wanted me to come out and defend them on that and go after Brooks, but I couldn't, because to me, his argument made sense. But what do you think? 1-866-494-9866. 1-866-494-WVNN. We can take your calls on this. At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk more about this with Casey Wardinsky. He's running for Congress, running for Mo Brooks' seat. He knows about this stuff more than anyone, because he used to work for the Department of the Army. He knows exactly how all this works. So we'll see if the new bill is actually a lot better, or maybe he still has some problems with it. So we'll get to that, talk about the governor's race, and much more. You're listening to Right Side Radio. This is Yaffe filling in for Phil Williams. We'll be back in just a moment. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. This is Yaffe filling in for Phil Williams. I appreciate him letting me do this. If you want to find out more about me, you can. Just follow me on Twitter at Michael Yaffe. The last name is spelled Y-A-F-F-E-E. You can like the Yaffe Facebook page, or you can get the podcast anywhere podcasts are available. Trying to get those podcast numbers up. So podcast, I'm just saying. Yeah, just Google Yaffe, you'll find it. So talking more Alabama politics, got to talk a little bit about the governor's race. Lady Lindy getting into the governor's race. And I kind of make fun of her for changing the name, but I might vote for her. I keep saying that. Nothing against her. I might vote for her because I don't really want to vote for KIV. You know, I wrote a post on my Facebook page earlier this week talking about that my biggest problem with Ivy isn't that she's not conservative. She seems pretty nice. She's done some really good things. The biggest problem with her, though, is she's not a leader. No, I mean, does anyone really sense that she is the leader, really going to lead the charge when it comes to, you know, promoting the conservative movement here in Alabama and, of course, across the country? We see leaders like DeSantis in Florida do that, and we're kind of like, Ivy's like, oh, she's okay. She's fine. So they say they approve, and that's why she does well in the approval polls, because, well, she's fine. She's okay. But people like me, of course, and I know you listening, and I know Phil Williams and others, they want a true leader. Someone who actually promote things like school choice, who aren't afraid when it comes to a lot of conservative issues. I just feel like sometimes we have to drag Kay Ivey kicking and screaming. Now, I get it. One reason she's there is because the other guy was corrupt, so she wanted to be kind of that steady leader in Alabama. But, man, I want someone a little more energetic. So, Lindy gets in the race. Real quick, Aubrey, can you play? I sent you a Linda Blanchard cut. This is actually her first campaign ad as she's running for governor. I'll tell you what's good about this and what's not so good about it, but here it is.
She grew up in a trailer in Wetumpka, Alabama, with nothing but heart, drive, and Alabama toughness.
I worked two jobs to get ahead, trimming trees to just afford Christmas presents. John and I married young, starting our family first. Then after saving every penny, we built a successful real estate business.
But tragedy struck. Lindy and John's son, Christopher, succumbed to an opioid addiction. It nearly destroyed their family. Mourning the heartbreak of losing a child, Lindy turned to the Lord for guidance. From prayer came inspiration to serve.
It became my life's mission to save lives and help others. We built orphanages and rehabs in 16 different countries, adopting five beautiful kids, Maymay, Jennifer, Lucero, Karen, and our angel, Izzy, who we lost to liver disease.
Lindy doesn't just call herself a pro-life Christian. She's lived it, and she's turned her life's tragedies into a passion for giving. Lindy has helped people here in Alabama and around the world. President Trump recognized Lindy Blanchard's selfless acts and named her ambassador to Slovenia, Melania Trump's home. Having served her country and contributed so much to the lives around her, Lindy is stepping forward to fight for Alabama by running for governor.
I will use my business experience to create jobs, end vaccine and mask mandates, and restore election security.
Copper, are you able to
Alabama
stop
ranks
that?
Dead last in education.
Yeah, sorry. Just wanted to make this point before we ran out of time. Before the end of the break. Thank you, Copper. I just wanted to say that the package is really good in terms of her campaign. I mean, it's very well produced, the ad. You know, if you think of it like a Christmas present, the wrapping is great. The bow is great. It's got the right message. My advice to her and her campaign, show a little bit more passion. When I hear Lindy speak and I see anywhere, I'm like, I need a little bit more energy. Just a little bit more energy. Really show that how much you want it. Because it could be well produced. It could be well wrapped, talking about the campaign. But if you're not a compelling candidate yourself, you're not going to be able to beat Kay Ivey. That being said, I keep saying, like, I might vote for her. Seriously. So I'm saying this because convince me, Lady Lindy, that you should be the one I should vote for over Tim James. Come up in the next segment, Casey Wardinsky running for Congress. He's going to join me. You're listening to Right Side Radio. Yaffe, filling in.